complete while I sit at your feet, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Heavenly Father, sweep over our souls today. Lord, we need you. Father, we need you. Help us, Lord. We're helpless without you. We're like sheep gone astray. We need our shepherd to come. Lead us back, oh God. Lord, I pray for all the souls that are here today. May we realize the time that we're living in, oh God. May we realize how dangerous it is, Lord. Mass deception on every side. Of religiousness that's not of you, God. May we truly be born again of the real Spirit of the living God. Open our eyes to truth, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Wash us in the blood of Calvary. We hold on to the Lamb of God who was slain. We ask you not to look at us, Lord, but look at the sacrifice we're holding on to. That perfect one. The spotless Lamb. Almighty God who gave himself as a ransom. Help us, Lord, today. Help me, Lord. Take control of my being, my thoughts, and my mind and my voice, and use me for your glory and honor. Lord, as we approach your word, O God, anybody that can read from this book. But it takes your Spirit to come and break open the bread of life to satisfy a hungry soul. And we ask you to do it today, Lord. Touch each one today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're standing, I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to read a portion of Mark chapter 4, verse 36. Amen. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You may be seated this morning. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I was just reading the scriptures, and something just stood out to me, and I've learned to just pay attention to that. No matter how simple it seems, God, again, hides himself in simplicity. And I just wanted to talk about Jesus today. You know, it says, what manner of man is this? But the thought today is, he was more than a man.
Amen.
He was more than a man. And the other thought I had today was, he's alive today. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Now, we know that's the truth, isn't it?
Amen.
If you're a Christian born of the Spirit of God, you know he's alive because he came to you.
Yes.
You know that he rose from the dead because he came to you and he quickened you.
Yes.
And you know, and he interacts with you and he speaks to you. Now, people that don't have access like that, they don't understand, but it's real to a Christian.
Amen.
It's very real to a Christian. And even the last few services, I've noticed, I've been hearing the voice of God
Amen.
To me. I've been hearing him say things to me that have been actually very encouraging. Because, you know, when the brother was bringing out how in Matthew, you know, isn't it amazing that God highlighted the ill-famed woman?
Amen.
God exalted in a way the women that man would not exalt. The Jewish people wouldn't be proud of those women. But God put their names in the lineage of Christ, the natural lineage. Of course, we know he was not born of man. He was born from above.
Amen.
Right? The virgin shall conceive. But I love that because that's our God. He doesn't rejoice in people that are self-righteous. He rejoices in the sinner that recognize he is their righteousness. He is our righteousness today. He is our holiness. He is God. He is why we overcome. And Brother Carmen brought out so wonderfully how God seeks those that realize they're weak.
Amen.
Because through our weakness, we become strong.
Amen.
Through recognizing we can't do it ourselves, that we need a living God to come and overcome.
Amen.
Praise God. So I really enjoyed. And to me, God's been speaking to me, for such a time as this, you were placed here.
Amen.
For such a time as this, the grace of God is upon you. Why do you see the things you see?
Amen.
Why do you recognize what God has done in this generation?
Amen.
It's not in vain. God has a plan and a purpose. Many times we beat up ourselves and we get hard on ourselves and we're down on ourselves. But I don't believe God is that way. Look at the grace that is upon us.
Amen.
You know, we feel good about our walk with God today, and tomorrow we feel bad.
Amen.
And then we feel good, and then we feel bad. We go up the mountains and down into valleys. But God never changes His view of us. He saw the end from the beginning.
Amen.
Praise God. So we need to capture a little bit
Amen.
Of the eternal eyesight of God. Amen. So I'm excited about this today because we're going to talk about Jesus. You believe He's alive?
Amen.
You believe He's the same? All right. Why don't we see Him more? Why don't we see His actions more? You know? And it's not that He doesn't want to be seen. He does want to be seen. God desires to manifest Himself. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Now, on Thursday night, we've been going through the Hebrews series, and it's been a blessing to me. We actually have extra books if you can't make it during the midweek. There's books there, and I have a bunch of books in the back. You can take them. If you're looking for something, you've been looking for something to feed on, that Hebrew series is, we're not even halfway through it, but it's something you can focus on. But, Sean, do you have that quote I wanted to look at? It's Hebrews chapter 3 we were on. There it is. And there's a scripture Brother Ram talked about. Those that were here, I'm sure you remember it, because he talked a lot about Israel provoking God. Israel provoked God. What did they do? They sinned, but what was sin? It was their unbelief. Unbelief provokes God. Let's just look at what he said. I thought this was such a wonderful part. And the scripture Brother Branham read was, while it is said in Hebrews, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. We could say that today.
Amen.
If you hear His voice, harden not. His voice speaking to your heart. As in the provocation, when they provoked Him, listen, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. They provoked Him. Brother Branham says, how many knows that Israelites provoked God with their unbelief? Congregation says, amen.
Amen.
That's your part. They murmured, Brother Branham said, they murmured. And then Brother Branham says, God loves, look at this. Now, I want you to get this. Because I think this is the strongholds in our mind. We think that life's supposed to be easy. We think that we're not supposed to have any problems. If I was a good Christian, I wouldn't have any problems. That's not true. If you're a son or daughter of God, you're going to have many things to overcome.
Amen.
When Israel went into the promised land, He didn't wipe out all the enemy nations. He didn't wipe out everything and just let them walk in. They had to overcome step by step.
Amen.
This problem they had to overcome. Then that problem they had to overcome. God even said, He said, if I wiped out all the nations, then the animals would come after you. So there's a reason for our problems. Now watch. God loves to bring you in trouble. See, God loves to bring me in trouble? Yes.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. God loves to bring you in trouble.
Amen.
He loves to put trouble down and see what you'll do about it. Amen. This is a prophet of God. I believe he's right. So he just stopped up the Red Sea, and the first thing you know, marched them right out into this place and then sent Pharaoh after them. See how God likes to do it? He loves to display his power and love. Now, do you believe that statement?
Amen.
He loves to display his power and love. And is he the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Amen.
See, he desires to display and manifest to you and I his love and his power.
Amen.
Let's follow along now. He is God, and he just loves to show you who he is. Amen. And the trouble of it is today, people say, oh, them days is past.
Amen.
That's very common today. Them days is past. Now, no. How can God display himself when you're taught such stuff as that? God loves to manifest himself. Here come the children of Israel walking in the light. Moses going before them. There they was. Come on, this is the way. God is calling. We're going out. We're going to the promised land. Oh, hallelujah. Here they was all shouting, jumping, and having a good time. And the first thing you know, you look back, and oh, what's that dust? One of them climbed a hill and said, oh, alas, alas, it's Pharaoh's army. God said, what you so scared about? Didn't you believe what I did down there? What are you so worried about? Why do you make me angry? See, it makes God angry. I believe that. When trouble comes, the first thing we do is panic. And we're afraid. Oh, no, things are bad. It's an opportunity for God when trouble comes our way. Amen. Got real quiet there.
Amen, brother.
Got real quiet. Oh, no.
Hallelujah.
What are you so worried about? Why do you make me angry? When they got down there, Moses went out and interceded to God. God just opened the Red Sea. They walked across, closed in the enemy. That's the way God does it. Don't get scared. Don't get all excited. Don't be frustrated. You provoke God.
Amen.
See, worry and fear doesn't help you. Faith helps you.
Amen.
There is no value in worrying. What am I going to do? There's trouble here. There's trouble there. There's trouble at work. There's trouble with my neighbor. There's trouble in my family. There's trouble, trouble, trouble. Listen, God allowed all that so you could overcome it.
Amen.
With his help and grace. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You provoke God. And what did he do? Look like, well, I love this part. Well, we had one big trial. Bless God, we got over it. We won't have no more. We're on a road to the promised land. And he led them right out into the desert where there's no water. Can you imagine God with his sanctified holy people led them right out in this trap, got them out of the trap, and then led them right out here where there's no water? When he could have took them some way where there was water, why he could have just made a river all along the way if he wanted to. He could have broke every mountain into joy, spurting water 50 feet in the air if he wanted to. Sure he could, but if he done that, it'd been too easy.
Amen.
Oh my, blessed be the name of the Lord. Why did God let this happen? Brother Branham, why did God? God is doing that. Let him alone. Just walk on. That's God's business. The footprints of the righteous are order of the Lord. Yes, sir. What difference does it make? Lost all my money, Brother Branham. Well, bless God anyhow.
Amen.
Oh, I did this and that happened. A storm blew my house away. Bless God anyhow.
Amen.
The Lord give, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just keep walking on. It's all the glory of God. God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
See, there's the point. Do we believe God knows what he's doing?
Amen.
Do you believe God knows what he's doing? So when trouble comes, what happens in our mind? Do we immediately panic? Do we immediately say, oh, God hates me now. He loved me yesterday. He hates me today. No, he still loves you today.
Amen.
And he allows that trouble to come into our life for a reason. There's a reason. When trouble comes our way, don't immediately say, oh, man, I'm in trouble. Say, all right, there's a reason for this, and this is an opportunity for my God to show he is God.
Amen.
See, that's where we should go in our mind, not right to the unbelief, not right to the fear, but forget about fear. It doesn't help you. There's unbelief and fear go together. Did you know that?
Amen.
If you entertain unbelief, you'll be entertaining fear.
Amen.
But love of God and trust in God is tied to faith in God. That's where we want to be.
Amen.
We want to trust and believe.
Hallelujah.
And you'll realize if you yield to fear, then you, like Job, he got what he feared, right?
Amen.
But if you lean towards faith and love in God, you'll actually get what you believe in.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh my, I know it's simple, but if we could apply this in our lives, we would have less problems. God knows what he's doing. Problem is, do we trust and believe him when trouble comes? You know, in the scripture we read today, they're in a boat. Jesus is on a pillow. The storm comes. The boat's filling with water. And they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, that's typically our reaction. God doesn't care anymore. God doesn't care about me. Actually, he loves us more than we recognize. You know, I remember I had some unique trials and when I was first a Christian, and you've all heard the story about Maureen not believing for some years. And, you know, I used to feel sorry for myself. I thought, oh, man, he hates me. God hates me. Look what he's done to me. I got a trial that nobody else has. Of course, there is people that have those trials. You just don't know about it. And actually, what I've realized now, looking back some 30 years, God makes custom trials for each individual. Because God is so great, he knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what I need. Amen. And after I came through the trials and I look back, I said, you know, I was blessed to have that trial. Amen. That trial helped me to grow in God. Amen. Because it challenged my faith. And see, faith needs to be challenged. Faith will be challenged. And if it's God's faith in you, it'll stand the test.
Amen.
Praise God. So, Master, carest thou not that we perish? There they are in the boat. The water's coming in. He's asleep on the pillow. Sometimes people feel like that today. Where's God? Is he sleeping? Is God sleeping? God's not sleeping on a pillow.
Amen.
No, no, no.
Hallelujah.
God is very aware.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He cares about the smallest things. Remember Brother Branham and that little fish on the water? And the entrails were put out, and the fish is dead on the water in the boat. And the Lord had told Brother Branham that there was going to be a creative act that happened on something. And there, the Spirit of God came down in the boat, and he stood up, and he said, Fishy, I give you your life in the name of Jesus. And the fish had his guts pulled out, but it jumped up and swam down through the water. Now we would say, why would Almighty God use his power to create a fish's body?
Amen.
That was dead.
That's right.
Brother Branham said this, and I think it's a good lesson, to show us that God cares about the little things in our life. See, unbelief says to us, God doesn't care about this thing in my life. Actually, God doesn't care about me. God might care about other people, but he cares about you. Not only does he care about you, he cares about the smallest problem that you're having.
Amen.
How big is your God? How great is our God?
Amen.
He's not too busy. He's eternal.
Amen.
We're bound by time. He's not bound by time.
Amen.
You know, for us, time goes in a straight line. Time goes on and on and on. And we can't stop it from going. We time keeps going. But for God, being outside of time, he could take any point of time and go to the left or right. Okay, this is layman's terms, right? He could spend eternity in that one moment of time.
Amen.
How great is our God?
Amen.
So he has time for you when you make time for him.
Amen.
And when trouble comes, don't think, oh, he's busy with all the other billions of people on the earth. No, he knows exactly what's happened to you.
Amen.
He saw that moment in time. He saw when you would need him in that time. He saw that at that moment you'd believe. And he'll be right there to help you.
Amen.
God is looking for somebody that believes him. God wants to and desires to manifest his power.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to have a prayer line today.
Amen.
Because I believe, I have faith that we live below our privileges.
Amen.
We live below our privileges. Lord, help me. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Amen.
Master, carest thou not that we perish? How much time do we spend feeling sorry for ourselves? You know, we need to take all that time and throw it out and invest in faith.
Amen.
I'm going to step on the word of God by faith and believe God is going to deliver me. I'm going to prove that God is God. In my life, he didn't die on the cross in vain. In my life, by those stripes, we were healed. He didn't get those stripes in vain in my life because I'm healed by his stripes. That's what the Bible said. Amen. See, we got to take God at his word. He wants us to believe enough that we take it. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
As many times we think and react just like the disciples. See, just because we get storms does not mean that he doesn't care.
Amen.
That's a stronghold. Remember the Bible says pulling down strongholds? There's strongholds in our mind. Something bad happens, God's mad at me. We all do that, but that's wrong. We got to take that thought and throw it down. God loves me. He died for me. Grace came to my life. He's revealed things to me. He saved my soul when I was lost. He's surely been good to me. God allowed the storm to the disciples. Why? So he could display his power. So he allows the trouble so we can overcome. So instead of going right to the negative side, trouble comes our way, we should immediately think opportunity for God to display himself. That's what should be in our mind. I serve a living God. He's not dead today. He's alive today. Let's look at John 3, John 9, 1 to 3. John, there it is. Thank you, Sean. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. We all know the story. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents. Let me stop there. How many times do you think this man wondered if he had done something wrong?
Amen.
How many times do you think the parents had wondered, maybe I did something wrong, and my kid's this way because of me? But here's God in flesh saying, neither did this man sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And then Jesus opened the blinded eyes, and he could see. And he had, because of that experience he had with Jesus, he had more real knowledge of God than all the official religious leaders who were against what God was doing. It's the same today.
Amen.
Just because somebody's got a degree on the wall doesn't mean they know anything about God.
Amen.
Just because somebody has a church with 20,000 people in it doesn't mean they know anything about God.
Amen.
We know God by his word and by an experience.
Amen.
And when God vindicates his word, that proves it.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Not reasoning it away. God allowed this man to be born blind so that the works of God could be made manifest.
Amen.
Think about it. I want you to think about that. God allowed that situation so that the works of God can be manifest. You know, nobody wants to be sick, but how can he show himself a healer unless there's somebody that's sick?
Amen.
Nobody wants to be a lost sinner, but how could he have manifested himself as Savior unless he allowed that to happen?
Amen.
He didn't make it happen, but he allowed it to happen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
When trouble comes, remember, we shouldn't think right away God hates me, but right away we should say, here's an opportunity for God to manifest himself.
Amen.
Now, sometimes it takes time. This man had been blind for a long time, right? Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac. Sometimes it takes time for the promises, but you hold on. Now, why did Israel provoke God? Unbelief.
Amen.
Unbelief is what God doesn't like. Unbelief is sin. See, many times Brother Brandon say, murder's not sin, stealing's not sin, adultery's not sin, right? But they're attributes that sin exists. When there's unbelief, it leads to those things. Unbelief is the real sin. But if you believe, you don't do those things, right? Praise God.
Amen.
So Israel, they didn't believe him, they provoked him because they didn't believe him, and they feared the enemy. Remember Gideon, the prophet that came to Israel around that time of the Midianites? He says, you didn't obey my voice. You feared the enemy. You feared the gods of the enemy. God does not want his children to fear.
Amen.
Fear no other god but the God of heaven.
Amen.
Jesus said, don't fear what man can do to you. Fear what God, the one that can destroy your body and soul in hell. Fear that one. That's the only one that we should reverence that way.
Amen.
Any other God doesn't deserve to be feared. He wants us to believe that he is, and that he is the same today
Amen.
As he always was.
Amen.
There's the challenge. Some people will say, oh, what a great God he was in the past. And, you know, down the future, he's going to do great things. But today, I don't know about today. No, today is when we need to believe him. We need to believe that today, he's the same. And that he desires to manifest his power in your life. See, I don't care what problem you have. It doesn't matter. Look how they're backed against the Red Sea. Was that a problem? Yeah. But he blew open the Red Sea. Who thought of that? Nobody thought they could do that. I don't care what kind of sickness you have. I don't care what kind of financial problem you have. God knows about it. He's more than able to come. We got a spiritual problem. You've been fighting your whole life. God's able to deliver.
Amen.
He's a deliverer.
Amen.
He wants to be known to you as your deliverer, as your savior, as your healer. And today we're going to give him an opportunity for that. Praise God.
Amen.
He can still rebuke the storms of life.
Yes.
Can't he?
Amen.
He stood there on that boat. The wind was blowing, so water's coming in, and the disciples were afraid they're going to die. And he goes, peace, be still.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's more than a man.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's God in a man.
Amen.
Peace, be still. And then everything went to a great calm. Don't you and I get great storms and we feel like we're being tossed about?
Amen.
He's still a God that can say, peace,
amen,
be still.
Amen.
He's still a God that can say, calm the storm.
Yes. Amen.
You know, I have to admit, I've had many moments in my life where I thought, this is the end. I'm done.
Amen.
You know, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to turn. You know, I see mountains on every side. And then he makes a way,
amen,
where there is no way.
Amen.
He opens up a door when I didn't even see there was a door.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Proving to us that he's God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. He's still a mighty conqueror.
Amen.
He's still a savior.
Amen.
He's still a healer today. Do you believe he's all that today?
Amen.
It's okay to believe in the past. It's okay to believe in the future. But what about today? If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Faith is being challenged today.
Yes,
unbelief is the real enemy, not your neighbor. Your neighbor's not your enemy. Your classmate, your people that you work with, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, that's not the enemy.
Amen.
Our enemy is our own unbelief.
Yes.
And if we can get overcome that, overcome our biggest problem, then all things are possible.
Amen.
When you move in the realms of faith, there is no obstacles that can't move.
Amen.
If we only believe, all things are possible.
Amen.
If we only that was the cornerstone of Brother Branham's ministry. It wasn't that he was a complicated, more educated person. It was that he was simple enough to believe God's word.
Amen.
He would say, Brother Branham would say, "Well, you said it, God, right here. You have to do it."
Amen.
We need to get that simple with God.
Amen.
You said it. I believe it. Lord, I'm expecting. I'm expecting. Here's the problem. We don't expect God to be the same. We always put it off to another day. Remember, hope is the greatest enemy of faith. Because hope says, I believe, but it'll be later. Faith says, I don't care what the circumstances are. I believe right now.
Amen.
That's the kind of faith we need if we want to see God move. Praise God. We don't look at the size of the problem. We don't look at the size of the enemy. David didn't look at the size of Goliath. He was looking at the size of his God. See, too many humans, they only see in the natural, and they see Goliath, and they say, we can't overcome. That's crazy. We're afraid. We're shaken. God's looking at Goliath and saying, he's nothing for my God.
Amen.
My God's so much greater than that, and that's the way we should operate.
Amen.
We are the seed of Abraham. What does the seed of Abraham do? Calling those things that are not as though they are.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Word, brother. Amen.
I know I've applied that so many times in my life, and he does those things that didn't look possible. He makes possible that which looked impossible. Calling those things which are not as though they were. Now, people that don't have faith, they can't do that. They don't understand that. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. We're going to follow. It's right after the storm scriptures in Mark 4. Mark 5, 1 to 5. And I don't know how far we'll get in this chapter, but there's so many wonderful things. I like to talk about Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen.
He's more than a man.
Sir.
He's God.
Oh my.
Jesus is God. When we get to the other side, we're going to see Jesus. If by the grace of God we make it, we're going to see Jesus there. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over the other side of the sea, and this is right after the storm, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. They tried. You ever think, why did they bind him with chains? They were scared of this guy. He was crazy. He was out of his mind. He was causing trouble and havoc, and right? And they, so the humans ran, oh my, we gotta do something. They put chains on him and he breaks the chains. Whew. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Let me stop there for a moment. Notice what demon spirits do in people. See, those spirits in people will cause those people to hurt themselves. And whenever you see somebody, I know it was like a weird trend that started happening, people started cutting themselves. That's a demon spirit. Amen. Cutting themselves. They called it cutting. Mm-hmm. I called it crazy. You're out of your mind. Why are you hurting yourself? Mm-hmm. That's a demon spirit inside a person. Mm-hmm. Now that person can operate and function. They weren't breaking chains. They're going through life. They might be a young person. They might be a student. But you know, they would cut their arms. They would cut their legs. Devils do that. See, demon spirits inside of people do things that hurt them and everybody around them. We need to be conscious of that. Because we're subject to spirits. We're all human beings, and spirits can get on us. That's why we have to be careful what we watch and what we feed on. Because spirits come through those things, right? The music we listen to. Talk radio. Well, politics is okay. I don't know about that. Be careful of politics. Because the religious mixed with politics is the ones that crucify Jesus Christ. Who becomes the most self-confident person in the world today is someone religious who's got strong political views. Look out. They'll take your head off in the name of God. So be careful of spirits. Be careful what cause you get caught up into. You might think it's a righteous cause, but could it be a wrong spirit?
Yes, amen.
Watch greed. What does greed do to people? They act insane. Mm-hmm. They do things they just wouldn't normally do. But that greed spirit gets on. All they can think about is getting more, gaining more, gaining more. And they don't care about their family. They don't care about anybody else. They just have to gain. Mm-hmm. And then they gain it all and they lose it all. About drugs. Someone takes drugs. They can't even think.
Amen.
They go out of their mind. They're crazy. Spirits get into them.
Amen.
And they'll do anything to get the drugs.
Amen.
You know, what we need is the new wine.
Amen.
The stimulation of revelation of the Word of God,
right,
which gives real stimulation. But I'm so glad Jesus set me free.
Amen.
I'm not bound by a spirit. There's not an evil spirit binding me. There's a Holy Spirit that sets me free from all those bondages that people are in.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Always hurts. Demons hurt people. Only bring harm to you and those around you.
Yes,
he was out of his mind. He was taken over by devils. Now look at Mark 5, 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. You can worship Jesus with the devil on you. Right? Demons worship Jesus. Well, I worship Jesus, so I must be a Christian. You got to be born again. And if you're born again, the fruits of the Spirit will be in your life. And you'll say yes to every word of God. Right? Praise the Lord. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee? Jesus, thou Son of the Most High, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. He was afraid of Jesus. For he said to him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. Listen, we may not understand this, but many demons can go in one person. See, we live in the natural and we understand things in the natural, but in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, it's possible for many different spirits to live into one person's body. This man was out of his mind and had all that power because he was filled with demons. He had who knows how many thousands of demons in this guy? Of course nobody could control him. Think of the strength that was in the man. Mary Magdalene, so the Bible says, out of whom went seven devils. So here's a woman who's a prostitute, and she's running a business, a prostitute, right? She's got all kinds of spirits in her, though, right? Now, what I'm trying to say is people can operate like they're normal people and have demons all over them, inside of them. I remember coming to that revelation when I was working for a man long ago, and he was very proper about things. He was dressed perfectly, and he was an engineer, but the man was filled with demons. And when I recognized this, I thought, look, you can function in society. You can actually look like a successful person in society and be filled with demons. Amen. What we need is to cast out devils. We need a good old-fashioned devil casting out. Amen?
Amen.
These signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
In my name they shall cast out devils.
Glory, hallelujah.
They lay hands on the sick, they shall recover.
Amen.
You know the first person you need to start with? It's not your wife, it's not your husband, it's not your kids, it's not your neighbor. You need to get them good old believer hands and go, in the name of Jesus, come out of me. Because we are the problem many times.
Amen. Yes,
we own the problem.
Amen.
Many demons inside of one man. You know, think about that. Think about how people operate in this world and they don't have the Holy Spirit at all. And you can tell. They can be smart. They can be driven. Right? But many times they're driven by a spirit of greed. They're driven by a spirit of lust. Or they're driven by something else. You know, it's really important for us to get quiet before the Lord.
Amen.
And let Him examine our ambitions.
Amen.
Let Him examine your motives.
Amen.
Two people can be doing the same exact thing, but wrong motives makes one right and one wrong.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
It's true. Motives are important. Praise God. The good news is, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't say, these signs shall follow them that are perfectly self-righteous.
No.
What does it say? These signs shall follow them that believe. How many believe today?
Amen.
Amen.
See, don't put no more requirements on it than he did. These signs shall follow them that believe. So the question you need to ask yourself is, am I a believer?
That's right. That's good.
You're a believer or you're not a believer? You know, it's easier if someone challenges you and they say, you're not a believer. And then you go, yes, I am. Because they pushed you against the wall. But if there's nobody doing that to you, then you start to entertain these doubts that you are a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Like when these privileges and these benefits are spoken about believers, these signs shall follow them that believe. And there's nobody saying, you're not a believer. You start saying it to yourself. Am I a believer? Is this for me? Yes, it's for you.
Right.
Yes, it's for you.
Amen.
You're a believer.
Amen.
There should be no doubt about that.
Amen.
I am a believer in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He changed my life. He's my God.
Amen.
His grace is upon me. I recognize that because I'm a believer.
Amen.
And therefore, these signs shall follow me.
Amen.
And then have courage.
Amen.
When you're faced with devils, remember, they're afraid of your God.
Amen.
When the weakest of Christian goes to his knees, the devil trembles. See, he's not afraid of you and me. He's afraid of the God that we're going to. And he knows if we humble ourselves to God, all things are possible.
Amen.
See, that's why God's looking for somebody who recognizes they're weak so he can do something about it. Luke 10. Put up Luke 10, Sean, verse 19. Behold, look at this scripture now. I give unto you, and he's giving it to disciples. Now, some people say, well, that was only for the original disciples. No, it was not. That's unbelief.
Amen.
This is to the believers.
Right.
Behold, I give unto you power. Do you believe Jesus gave you power?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus, let that sit in, you know, for a whole day. Think about it. Jesus gave me power to tread on serpents. Not just physical serpents, but devils. The power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, I can't get past that word, over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
And nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen.
So what are we afraid of?
Amen.
The devil's afraid of believers Amen. Who know who they are.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The devil's afraid of believers Amen. Who won't take his bluff.
Amen.
The devil's afraid of believers who, when he says, you're no good, look at this, look at that, and they go, he paid the price to wash me. I'm whiter than snow.
Hallelujah.
The devil says, oh no, what am I going to do? When they know who they are, we're in trouble. Look what happened in the book of Acts. We can't have another Holy Ghost church on this earth.
Amen.
Woo.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And the Holy Ghost is saying, I'm gonna have me a Holy Ghost church. The Holy Ghost is saying, I'm going to prove who I am.
Amen.
And I say, why not today?
Amen.
Why not today? Do you think there's going to be more power and validity to this Amen. Down the road than there is today?
Amen.
See, Brother Branham, the gift that he had was to take Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That scripture had been there for thousands of years, but he highlighted it. He put a spotlight on it, and he proved that it was true.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Yeah.
And his whole ministry was based on faith that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And why did he get results in his ministry? Because he got people to believe that.
Amen.
What did the angel say that came to Brother Branham? If he can get the people to believe.
That's right. Amen.
Nothing will stand before your prayer, not even cancer.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And so Brother Branham, he was always trying to get people to believe. And the gift of discernment, when he could discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, that was not what healed people. It's what made them believe.
Amen.
God is God. Do we have to have that again? Yeah, Brother John, if you bring him back at a private resurrection, and he has a private ministry, and he comes to our church, and he discerns me, then I'll believe. That's provoking God. He's already displayed it around the world. Brother Branham's ministry proved that this Bible is the Word of God. He proved that we can trust the Word of God. I would love to see Brother Branham's ministry, but I'm in the age after Brother Branham's ministry. I'm in the age after, and now the challenge is, do you believe?
Amen.
Do you believe he's the same today?
Amen.
I believe he's the same today. To agree on anything, just believe today. No matter what you have need of, push aside all doubts and fear. Push aside all unbelief. Say, I'm going to believe God today.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I'm not mad. I'm excited. The world may say we're mad, crazy, right? But just leave me alone. I feel better this way. I remember being in drugs. I remember drinking like a drunk. I remember being hungover. I remember lying down in the middle of the street flat drunk. Devil's trying to get me destroyed. But it didn't work, devil. Jesus saved me. And now I don't have any desire for drugs. I don't have any desire for drink. I don't want the world. I want God. I want the things of God. I want to see God manifest his power.
Hallelujah.
And you know, he doesn't have to do it to me, but maybe God's going to help me have somebody else have faith.
Amen.
I'm all right with that. Mark 5, verse 10. Look at Mark 5, verse 10.
Glory.
Oh, Brother John, this is too simple. Give us the word. Teach me till I'm like incapacitated in my theology. Mark 5, verse 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. That's the legion, right? Now there was there, verse 11, Mark 5, 11, there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, Jesus, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter. See, the devils are dumb. They don't know what's going to happen. Don't think the devil's smart. He's more clever than we are. But listen, he doesn't know everything. If they knew that the swine were going to go kill themselves, why would they even want to go into the swine? I'm so glad my God is God. I'm so glad that our enemy, the devil, is a defeated foe. If they knew the future and they understood everything, they would have never nailed him to the cross. See, but God has set up the devil to be a tool in the hands of God. How frustrating that must be. But I don't feel sorry for him.
No, sir. Amen.
All the devils besought in verse 12, saying, send us in the swine, and we entered in. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out. And now picture what that was like for the man who was possessed by legion. The moment that they went out.
Free.
I'm so glad Jesus set me free.
Thank you, Lord.
The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city. Of course, you have to blame somebody when something goes wrong. And in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed, because he would go around naked, right? Mm-hmm. Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Let me stop there for a moment. Why were they afraid? Why didn't they just get happy? Because they had to know this legion. They lived nearby. They'd all heard about this guy. They were all afraid of this guy. And here's him sitting in his right mind. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's sitting there clothed and in his right mind looking at them, not crazy-eyed anymore, not foaming at the mouth. He was all, maybe he got a haircut too. He's sitting there and they're afraid. You know why? People are afraid of what they don't understand. That's still true today. You talk about Brother Bram's ministry, you talk about a real vindicated prophet, a prophet promised in the scriptures for the end time before the second coming, and people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're afraid of that.
Amen.
Remember the disciples when Jesus was walking on the water and they were tossed, this is a different time in the boat, they were tossed and Jesus, and they said, oh, is it a spirit? That was the only person, the only thing that could deliver them was Jesus, and they were afraid of it.
Amen.
See, sometimes when God comes, he comes in such a way that good-hearted people don't understand. How about when Mary comes back to Joseph? He says, Joseph, it's awesome, I'm pregnant. He's going, what? An angel came to me and he told me all these things and I'm going to have a child. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you so happy? He's like, what? See, Joseph was a good man. You believe that?
Amen.
But even good people, when the supernatural happens, they don't understand. When did Joseph, the Bible says, thought to put her away privately. Why? Because he knew if she was publicly exposed, she could be stoned. Right? But he didn't want her to do that because he felt bad, right? So he thought to put her away privately. And when did he understand? When he had a dream. You know, God uses dreams.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
God can send an angel to you in a dream.
Amen.
You need to pay attention to that.
Sir.
And so it comes, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Wait a minute, I thought God was his father. Yes, the Holy Ghost is the father.
Amen.
Right? That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And he's going to be called Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins.
Amen.
They were talking about us there.
Hallelujah.
But see, good-hearted people will misunderstand the supernatural. Don't be surprised. Don't let that push you back. Don't be afraid to talk about what God's done, because God did come in this generation.
Amen.
An angel of God came and visited a humble Kentucky hillbilly.
Amen.
And he spoke to him, and he had a ministry that went around the world.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm not afraid to talk about it, because I can show people in the scriptures.
Amen.
Hey, Elias truly shall first come.
Amen.
And restore all things.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that was John the Baptist. No, John the Baptist prepared the way.
Amen.
But someone was going to come to restore all things.
Amen.
And God restored what? Not the word, but the faith of the people.
Amen.
Back to the original faith.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with the word of God. There never was anything wrong with the word of God.
Amen.
Oh, aren't you glad?
Amen.
But
Amen.
This understanding has come to us. This grace has come to us. Didn't come to everybody.
Yes, sir.
So be patient with people that don't have an understanding you have. Actually, if you have a greater understanding and a true greater revelation of the Word of God, you should be able to bear with somebody that doesn't.
Amen.
See, because many people claim to have a greater revelation and they just cut people off left and right. That's a sign that they don't have a greater revelation. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's continue here. People fear what they don't understand. Verse 16, and they saw it, and they that saw it, the people taking care of the swine, told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Isn't that something? Jesus did something wonderful. He said, you know, we don't want you around. We really don't want you. Have you seen that? God can do something wonderful when people say, you know, that's not for me. That's not my cup of tea.
All right, now.
That's for somebody else. Why don't you just move along?
Amen.
It's all right. Hey, if they did it to him, they're going to do it to you.
Amen.
It's all right. No problem. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Pray him to depart out of the coast. And when he was come up into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil. Now imagine this guy that was the legion was on him. With the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Of course he'd want to be with Jesus. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Amen.
If you had just been delivered like that.
Yes.
But notice, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, sometimes the best thing that you and I can do is tell people what Jesus did for you.
Amen.
In simplicity. You were there, because you know it because you were there. Nobody can take away that experience with God. If God ever healed you, if he saved you, if he's done anything for you, just tell people about it.
Amen.
That's the best thing you can do for people.
Amen.
See, sometimes we want to get in our holy huddle and be with Jesus, right? And get away from everybody. But sometimes maybe Jesus wants us to go out and tell somebody what he did for you.
Amen.
Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Mark 5:21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered. I tell you, I love this chapter. I don't know about you. Much people gathered him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Let me just say this. Sometimes there's only so much what man can do. I do believe there's some things that the doctors can do to help. But then sometimes it's just beyond them. And then we become experimental, you know, things for them. I really don't want a doctor experimenting on me. If you don't know, then just, okay. I know a great physician.
Amen.
I know the one that created my body. He knows exactly what I need. See, the doctors can't suggest supernatural healing. That's beyond what they could even imagine, okay? Even if they believe in God and they know God's a healer, they can't officially suggest that. But Christians look in the Bible and we can say the great physician now is here.
Amen.
The creator of the universe can fix in me what's wrong.
Amen. It's done. Amen.
Praise God. With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, oh, that's why it's good to tell about him, he came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She had been bleeding like a woman, is she right? And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, strength had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? In other words, don't talk crazy, Jesus, you know. Everybody's touching you.
Amen.
But what did he say? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, right? Because Jesus was looking for the person, and she knew she was that person, right? She wasn't sure if she did something wrong, but she was healed. Fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Amen.
Another interpretation, thy faith hath saved thee. Saved soul and body. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.
Amen.
Thy faith hath made thee whole. She believed in her heart.
Amen.
She grabbed on to faith. She heard about Jesus and the healings, and she's like, all I need to do is touch his garment. She came to that conclusion. She didn't have the scriptures that we have today. How much more should we be able to latch on by faith and say, I can touch him today.
Amen.
I can touch him today. She made a point of contact. Her faith was established and she was healed. So she, in her mind, needed to like touch something, right? And that her faith was like, if I just touch his garment, I don't even need to touch him.
Amen.
I touch the hem of his garment.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham, in his healing campaigns, because healing is the children's bread. Do you realize if you're a child of God, healing is for you.
Amen.
Divine healing is for you.
Amen.
What do we need divine healing for in the millennium when we have a perfect body?
Amen.
Divine healing's for now.
Amen.
It's the children's bread. It's your right.
Amen.
Because he died. He suffered. By his stripes, we were healed.
Amen.
So we need to believe for that healing. If Jesus was here today, he couldn't heal you. He's already healed you.
Amen. So
what we need to do is believe what he's already done for us.
Amen.
Latch on to that. And so sometimes you need a point of contact. Brother Branham said, though, there's different kinds of faith. There's a faith that if you had real faith, you wouldn't need to come up into the prayer line. Brother Branham said that. People coming up to the prayer line, and he said, if you really had faith, you could just sit in your seat and accept
Amen.
Your healing right there.
Hallelujah.
But he said, some people, and he talked about Jairus, come lay your hands on my daughter. He said, some people need that point of contact.
Yes,
and we're going to give you that today.
Amen.
At the
Hallelujah.
End of the service.
Amen.
And we're going to believe together,
Amen.
And God will keep his word.
Amen.
God will keep his promise. I'm giving you the opportunity today, a point of contact right here. I'll lay hands on you for whatever you have need of. Now, Jesus, he said, these signs shall follow them and believe. He didn't say if you make long prayers. He didn't. That's what ministers tend to do because then they kind of earn it. You know, I sweated a little bit, Jesus, so make this prayer earn a little bit more. No, it's faith.
Amen.
Faith is our victory. Faith. And we. So I'll lay hands. And then once you lay hands, you got your point of contact and you say, thank you, Lord. I believe you can do what I need. You can satisfy. You can heal my body. You can save my soul. You can deliver me from evil spirits. You can deliver me everything I have ever have need of. He's already paid for it.
Amen.
We just got to appropriate the right kind of faith. Today, if you hear his voice, Harden not your hearts.
Amen.
All right? Sometimes we need a point of contact. So, again, when we lay hands on you today, we'll tell you how it's going to work at the end. You just say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for whatever you have need of. You can keep it to yourself. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for saving. Thank you for helping me with this spiritual problem. Thank you for with this financial need. Thank you for this relationship problem. Anything you have need of, is anything too hard for God? There's nothing wrong on his side. Why don't we see God? Not enough people are taking him by faith. Now, I've done the same thing in other churches, and people's faith come up, and they were healed of things they had for many years.
Amen.
That's not me, but it's because I'm bold enough to apply it.
Amen.
And if someone's bold enough to accept it, you can have whatever you have need.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
I know it's true.
Amen.
I know it's true.
Amen.
He is the high priest, right? So it's important. When you make your point of contact, and they say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Now, you may feel all the symptoms. Thank you for healing my body.
Amen.
But he is the high priest.
Amen.
Right now, he's our great high priest who makes intercession based on our profession.
Amen.
The things we say.
Amen.
So we say, I'm saved. And God goes working, and then that follows, see?
Amen.
And then we say, I'm healed. And you may not be healed the second. You may get healed the second.
Amen.
But you keep confessing what he said,
Amen.
And he's a high priest that makes intercession in your profession.
Amen.
That's how it works. Mark 5:35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe.
Amen.
And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult. Now imagine them, the daughter, she had died. Jairus' daughter was dying. He runs to Jesus. While he's with Jesus, her daughter dies. And they said, don't bother him, she's dead. Come into the royal house, see the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Of course, they loved the little girl, right? And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth.
Amen.
And they laughed him to scorn. So here's people that are in pain, right? And they're mourning. And this guy comes in, so-called Messiah, so-called... They didn't know who he was. If they knew who he was, they wouldn't have laughed at him.
Yes, sir.
He said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, I want you to know, there's always going to be people who can only believe what they see. There's always going to be that way.
That's right.
There's never going to come a time where everybody in the world is going to see by the grace of God.
Amen.
There's always going to be people around you when God does a supernatural event that are doubting and that can't see it. See? But we're not those people.
Yes,
no. We believe, and that's why all things are possible. But listen, don't get mad at them for them getting mad and for them scorning. They can't see what you see. They can't believe by the faith that was given to you. God, is faith a gift?
Amen.
Faith is not something we can boast about. It's something that exists or it doesn't exist.
Amen.
What does the scripture say? We are saved by grace through faith. And that, not of yourself,
mm-hmm.
It is the gift of God.
Amen.
So salvation is a gift, and the faith which God uses to bring it is a gift also.
Amen.
So what do we have to boast of? Who ever earned a revelation from God? There's many men that study the Bible their whole life, and they don't understand anything they're looking at.
Amen.
And then some poor sinner reads the Bible, and God just opens revelation to him.
Amen.
You don't earn that, it's a gift. Praise God for his grace.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You know what? You know why it's exciting for me? If I can get alone and get in the right spirit and read the Bible, because it's like it's such a gift that I recognize it's not me. He just shows me things.
Amen.
And I'm like, wow, that is so great.
Amen.
I never saw that before.
Amen.
Do you feel that way?
Amen.
If that happens to you, we should thank God for that.
Amen.
That's a gift from God. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
But when he had put all them out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered into the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Damsel, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, and for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that they should not, that no man should know it, and commanded that something be given her to eat. Is he alive today?
Amen. Amen.
I believe he's the same today. You know, we say it, but do we believe it?
Right.
Do we ever step out and say, you know, I really believe it, and I really have a need, and God, I need you today. And Lord, I've had this problem for a long time, but I'm not going to think about that anymore. Today, if I hear your voice and I heard your voice today, I'm not hardening my heart. I'm going to appropriate faith that you've given me, and I'm going to be healed today.
Amen.
And I'm going to be saved today.
Amen.
And this problem's going away today. He's still a healer.
Amen.
By his stripes, we were healed.
Amen.
He's still a savior. He took our place on Calvary. Right? He died so I could be free.
Amen.
Do you have a need today?
Amen. Every day, brother. Amen. Hallelujah.
We need supernatural deliverance today.
Amen.
Let's all stand. If Jeremy could come to the piano.
Hallelujah.
Now I want you to remember, Brother Bram talked about the two women in the prayer line. One woman was a sainted woman. She was a real Christian. It's not that she wasn't a Christian. But many times real Christians can focus on the wrong things. Only believe, Jeremy, only believe. So this woman was a sainted woman, and she was coming in the prayer line, and she kept thinking, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And she's coming closer to Brother Branham. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. What was she? She was focused on the wrong thing.
Amen.
He prayed for her, but because she's saying, I'm not worthy, she didn't get her healing. The other woman in the prayer line was a prostitute. She knew she was wrong. She said, well, I believe it. That's what the word says. I believe it. And she walked up and she was saved and she was healed right there.
Amen.
Now, what does that prove to you and I?
Amen.
Healing and getting an answer from God is not based on our works. The gospel is not about what we do for God.
Amen.
It's about what we believe for what he did for us.
Amen.
What do we believe about what he did for us? Does it apply to me today? I don't know about you, but I need him every day.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And every day I'm like, Lord, help me.
Oh, God. Yes, sir.
Have mercy on me, Lord.
Yes, sir.
I want you to be free. He wants you to be free to worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's sing that. All things are possible if we only believe. Yes, only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Now keep playing, Jeremy. I'm going to give some instructions here. What I'd like for you to do right now is for this side of the church to come out on the outside and just just stop here. Form a line. Just everybody come out. If you have a need, whatever you have need of, not for yourself or somebody else, just come out here right now and form a line right there. And after they do, I want this side to go back around that way in the back side and come around that side and just form a line along the side there. You understand? This side, go out that way. And we're going to sing Only Believe all the way through this. And when we pray for you, we're not going to pray long. We're just going to just lay our hands on you as a point of contact, and we're going to thank God for healing us. I'm going to pray first right now for everybody, and then I'm going to come down and lay hands and believe God. Are you expecting God to do something? Amen. Listen, we don't have to be complicated people. The simpler we can be, the more that God can do for us. Amen. We're not a crowd here. We're just a little group. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe today. Lord, we look back at your prophet and we realize there was success in his ministry because of the simplicity which he came, and that the people believed, oh God. Lord, you stirred my heart the other night. We need to take action. We need to take you at your word, oh God. And I'm here, Lord, today, not because I'm worthy, but because you're worthy. You're worthy that we take you at your word today. Lord, as we sing this song, as people come through the prayer line, I ask that you touch them, Lord. Give us that faith to receive what you've already done for us. No matter what it is, oh God, and we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, I believe.